On the afternoon of May 26, 1996, I was driving east out of Spokane on I-90. It was a warm day. I was 18 years old and doing whatever seemed right in my own eyes. Suddenly, in a blur, pieces of metal flew past my windows like I had splashed through mud. I didn't see anything in the road that I might have hit, and I noticed that the pickup wasn't responding. There happened to be an exit right there, so I coasted over and rolled about halfway up the off-ramp. In vain, I tried every gear, but none worked. I was stranded, going nowhere, and there was nothing. I should have been in services that afternoon in Spokane. It was the day of Pentecost, May 26, 1996. Today is May 26, 2007. One lesson I can pass along from my experience 11 years ago is that no one gets by with cutting class with God. When one cuts class, they fail to realize the value of the course. Our course is toward the kingdom of God. Our classes occur every Sabbath and holy day. Let's expand the idea of cutting class from the idea of simply failing to show up at the appointed time to the idea of failing to appreciate the significance of what we are hearing, observing, and experiencing. We can see that by cutting class, we fail to prepare for what lies ahead. And what lies ahead of us today is the experience of the day of Pentecost. In order to gain the most out of what we are to experience, we must prepare to be there and to be ready. So let's take a look at preparing to be ready for the day of Pentecost. Our preparation is necessary to avoid cutting class and taking the course for granted. We prepare by taking heed to the instruction given so that we can be ready for attendance. We can learn from the instructions given to Israel just before the day of Pentecost. If you please turn with me to Exodus 19. Exodus 19, and I'll be reading verses 4 through 6, 10 and 11, and 14 and 15. Exodus 19, beginning in verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Drop down to verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And in verse 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Historically, these verses take place just before God spoke, giving the law on the day of Pentecost. The children of Israel were set apart for a special purpose. Of all people, they were chosen to be God's people. They were to be given his laws by which they were to live and honor their union to God. What were they to do? When they were set apart for this honor and privilege, they were to wash their clothes. Strong's definition of the word clothes, number 8071, Simla, reads, Simla, perhaps by permutation of the for the feminine of 5566, through the idea of a cover assuming the shape of the object beneath, a dress, especially a mantle, translated apparel, cloth, clothes, clothing, garment, raiment, and number 5566, semel, is from the unused root meaning to resemble, a likeness, translated figure, idol, image. From these definitions, we see clothes representing a cover that takes on the appearance of what lies underneath. Clothes bear the likeness of the person beneath them. In other words, who and what we are on the inside reflects on the outside. This idea is commonly expressed by many who address to express themselves how they wish to be perceived, whether or not they realize it. Thus we see portrayals of gang members, athletes, prostitutes, celebrities, and the list goes on. When we apply this concept spiritually, our deeds affected by who we are become our spiritual clothes. We are being made a new creation in the image and likeness of God. Who we are and what we do is to reflect Him in us, just as Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How we dress is an expression of who we are and what we do. Washing our spiritual clothes means cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. This is only possible because we have been set apart to do so. It is our part of preparing to be ready to come before God in response to sanctification. One who is summoned to appear before royalty prepares himself in honor of that summons. This is a small part that acknowledges the value of our calling, to be a special treasure through our obedience. Verse 6 specifies that we are to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Once we respond to our calling, we are then prepared for a high office. Though we continue to wash, this is not enough. We must be given new clothes representative of the change within us. We grow in this character and image of Christ, and he becomes our righteousness. In Romans 13:14, we are told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Verses 11 and 15 of Exodus 19 give us a warning to be ready. We must be ready. Being ready is a call to stand at attention. This is focused attention that is not distracted by other desires. A solemn occasion is not to be treated lightly. Treating lightly means to disregard as less important than self. The instruction to not go near the wives represents this focused attention. This is not a slam on sex within marriage, but a call to exercise self-control in order to focus on the solemn importance of the occasion. No distractions should divert attention from being ready to come before God. Approaching their wives, as indicated, would have rendered them ceremonially unclean and therefore unready. This is similar in concept to whatever comes out of the heart of man defiles the man. It is preparing that we don't speak our own words. Our focus is to be on the hearing the word of God. We as the Israelites are to be at attention, ready to listen, ready to receive the instruction from God, how we are to serve our calling and sanctification, ready to approach God as his first fruits, not distracted or weighed down by anything that would hinder us from the presence of God. We are given very explicit instructions for approaching God. There are a number of instructions God gives that can be summed up by the command to be holy as he is holy. Holiness by sanctification is a hallmark of the first fruits. We are set apart to be holy as God is holy, to bear the image of the heavenly, to witness to all that God is God. Pentecost is called the Feast of the First Fruits. It pictures the first harvest of those God has called and chosen. They are prepared through obedience to serve the rest of mankind in his kingdom as a holy nation of priests. To accomplish this purpose, we are given two things. First, we are given the Ten Commandments, which represent the love of God in proper perspective at work towards all and teach us the way that God lives, the way we are to live. Second, we are given the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God in us through which he works in us to will and to do for his great purpose. It is his mind in us, developing us, creating us in his image, character, and likeness. Those who are now called and being worked with and who respond to their calling are the first fruits, the first harvest. These are they who will rise in the first resurrection. And if you'll turn with me, please, to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, and I'll read verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We are called to take part in the first resurrection. We have been given the spirit of power, love, and sound mind to live, love, and overcome, to wash ourselves and make ourselves ready. The only alternative is the second death. We are also called to become the bride of Christ, redeemed, leaving behind those things which profit us nothing, to be married to him, to reign with him, and to be at one with him. The day of Pentecost pictures a complete joining and fellowship with God. This union is beautifully portrayed as a marriage of redemption. The story of Ruth, a story of a redemptive marriage, is traditionally read on the day of Pentecost. Recall how Ruth left all that was familiar to her to live in Israel. She prepared for her new life by leaving her world behind. Most importantly, she left it behind spiritually. Coming out of this world is an important part of our holiness, our cleansing ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. There is seldom such excitement as seen in the preparations leading up to a wedding ceremony. The real preparations begin long before the actual union and marriage. A departure from the old and familiar occurs as the new couple begin a new life together on their own. The former preparations that reflect character are utilized in facing the new challenges and tasks. The character and habits developed prior to the wedding ceremony will be displayed afterwards. This is why it is so important to take advantage of the opportunity we have now, the opportunity to be taught by the Most High in preparation to be completely joined and unified in fellowship with Him and His Son. Our time of preparation is now. Our classes must be valued. The bride or groom who fails to prepare is in for a rough road ahead. Relationship failure is likely without repentance. Fruits born out of that relationship will be soured. What is not learned now must be learned later at greater difficulty. Mr. Armstrong once remarked how he had read the end of the story that we win. Imagine the incredible happiness and joy in a marriage properly prepared for. Husband and wife can face the challenges of creating a new family together with total confidence in each other's character. The fruits born become godly seed. Please turn with me now to Revelation 19, just a page over in my Bible. Revelation 19, and I'll read verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The wife of Jesus Christ, the righteous, has made herself ready by responding to her calling through diligent effort to overcome all that distracts and corrupts, by valuing the training, the classes set before her to live as God lives, through taking heed according to His word. She is given new garments that adorn and reflect who she has become. No longer the filthy rags of our own righteousness, but the fine linen of the righteousness of God in us. The fulfillment of Pentecost is something spectacular to be part of and to prepare for. If we fail to prepare and be ready, we will find ourselves with nothing and going nowhere. No one gets by cutting class with God. We prepare and make ourselves ready so that we will have something extremely valuable from God's instruction. Preparation on our part consists of ordering our conduct aright, which is to wash our spiritual clothes and exercising self-control to keep our focus steadfast on the importance of our calling and sanctification. We are to be holy as God is holy. This is essential in approaching Him. Holiness is the hallmark of our sanctification. Our future, as pictured by the day of Pentecost, is to be united to God, a complete joining and fellowship with Him. As 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1 states, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Let us take heed and be ready and avoid taking the day of Pentecost for granted.